Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hello, bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of our Anime Boston 2019 interview specials. On today's episode, you'll be hearing a super cool interview with voice actress Leia Clark. Our second time talking to her, actually. Since we last saw her at another anime convention back in 2016, she has gone on to reprise her role of Suzuka in the sequel series Fuka, as well as taken on the title role in Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. For a temporary amount of time, B3 was joined by King Gamer. So, if it sounds like I had to start making up more questions on the fly as this interview progresses, well, that's actually exactly what happened. But I think it came out pretty okay. So, let's get to talking about maids and listen to this Anime Boston 2019 interview special with Leia Clark.
Chatted at another anime convention
a couple
of years ago. So last time we did chat, you mentioned how attached you were with the character of Suzuka, and a couple of years ago you got the chance to reprise the role in the sequel Fuka, and I'm wondering how you felt the character had changed since you last played her, and if that affected the way you revisited the role.
I think the only way it changed is, I mean, she's older and she has a daughter, and just being older myself, and I just kind of thought about what that would be like, I guess, to have somebody and care for them in that way. So, I guess she just matured, and she's, you know, her priority is towards another human versus her high jumping all the time. Mm-hmm. So she's gotten a little bit more emotionally attached to people versus, you know, her own activities.
Moving on to another anime that you've been part of, obviously. Fans have made note of Dub for High School DxD, right? Takes a raunchier tone than what they find in the original, right, in Japanese, with more crude jokes and swearing and so forth. So as the voice of Asia, do you have any insight of why is this the case, and were you guys allowed to make more comments in the booth that were already established when you received the script? Or
as far as changing the script?
Did you have more freedom?
There's not really a freedom with, I mean, if you improvise a line and it works,
right,
sometimes that's okay, but you have to be kind of like true to the translation. So just because I think it's funny to say, you know, schnockers when she's saying whatever she's saying, so, I mean, we could just go ahead and do it, because,
right.
Yeah. So, in that way, I mean, not really, there's not that much flexibility with it. But, yeah.
So, last time when we did the interview, you and I joked about the lack of getting deep with the character of Yukiko in Assassination Classroom in the first season, because she was more of a background character at that time.
Yeah.
But now that the series was over and you were able to flesh her out more during that second season, How did your portrayal of her change up as the series slowly wrapped itself up?
I don't know that the portrayal changed, if there was just more to her. I probably just kept it the same, and it probably looked more different, more different to people that are watching it versus the way I was portraying it. Because whether your character is in the background or at the front, you play them the same. So for me, it was the same, but for someone else, they probably found more insight into her than I probably would have.
So, Pop Team Epic, what was the casting like for that? Because there's a different cast every episode. How did that go?
I, as an actor, you don't really have that much knowledge of how it's cast. Okay. So, because it's a broadcast dub, what happens is the director doesn't really have time for auditions, so they just kind of go through and, from their roster of actors in their brain, they just kind of pick who might fit what episode. So, I remember Chris George saying that he chose me and Stephanie Shea to appear in our episode because our voices were a little bit similar. So that's all I know about that. And I know that he picked Wendy and Cynthia Kranz to be in an episode together because they're best friends. So yeah, I think he just kind of...
He had a short list.
Yeah. Gotcha. And put him in there.
Yeah. Gotcha. So one of my favorite comedies of the last couple of years was New Game, where you got to play the character of Yoon Ijima. And when playing this role, was there a challenge when it came to portraying both of her like elegant public side and her slavish private time, I want to call it?
Oh, you mean like her history, like her origin,
yeah,
who she used to be? It was fun. It's always fun to, you know, dive into what made the character who they were. So yeah, it was cool to like dig into her past and get a little bit more knowledge of why she's so intent on being, you know, prim and proper now, because she didn't have that chance to in the past. So that was kind of cool to see.
So Fairy Tale now it's in its final season. What are your thoughts working on it for all this time?
I am enjoying it. I'm into it. It's great. Every time something happens to Mavis and I think she's dead, I'm like, oh, is that it? And, you know, the director, Kyle, is like, no, it's not. You're fine. We still got a few more episodes to go before you're completely dead. Gotcha. But that's always his joke every time I come into the studio. I'm like, am I dying? He's like, yep, this is it. This is your last one. Hope you enjoy it. And then he makes a joke. He's like, oh, just get it.
Yeah, well, with Fairy Tale actually coming up to, 300 episodes have actually officially been done for Fairy Tale.
Yes.
And looking back at working on such a show like this, like, what has been, like, something that has stood out the most when it came to working on such a series like Fairy Tale?
Well, it was fun to find out that I'm the whole reason it exists. That was cool. Like, doing a Fairy Tale Zero and seeing the origin of it. But yeah, it's cool to be part of a series that is so well loved and just long. Because the majority of the things we do are 12 to 26 episodes long. So yeah, to have a major character in something that's 900 episodes is awesome.
One of my favorite anime comedies, a truly underrated series, is a show that you did. A little bit of a small role was on a show called Barakamon, where you got to play the role of Naru's friend, Kentaro. And my question is, like, when you play a role that's, like, as a small kid, or, like, any sort of kid role that you have played in the past, how often do you pull something from your own personal childhood to help shape your performance?
It's hard to pick something from your childhood, but when you think about, I mean, as humans, we're just humans. When you're a child, you're just a small child. So I still play the honesty of the situation as that character. I think just the innocence of it helps the delivery. And usually as an adult character, you kind of know what's happening and you're prepared for it. But when you're playing a small child, it's always a discovery. So I think that's the only difference between the two.
So let's move on to probably a role that I think has been, like, has become in the last couple of years like one of your most iconic roles right now.
Oh, really?
And it's a show that is actually both on my website, The Best Anime of 2017, and even on the other show I do, Wicked Anime, Best Anime of 2017.
Cool.
Miss Kobayashi's Dragon.
Oh, sweet. So, I love that you called her iconic. That makes me happy. She's like one of my favorites.
Think about like, the show. Like for me personally, like I watched the show, and it was at a time like where like I like Kyoto Animation, but it hadn't had that same magic that Kyoto Animation had like in its early years. But when they came up with Dragon Maid, my reaction to that was like, this was the Kyoto Animation I fell in love with, and it was a lot of like because of the. In between bantering between your character, Miss Kobayashi, and with Toru, and the relationships that they would build up with one another. So I'm curious as to, like, your portrayal of Miss Kobayashi, and how you would work alongside someone like Sarah Whitenhoff as Toru, how that shaped your own interpretation of the character of Miss Kobayashi.
Well, I actually never met Sarah until probably months after we wrapped the entire series. I had no idea what she looked like, who she was, but I loved her portrayal as Toru, so whenever she would record first, I would always have her in my headphones to respond off of. Yeah, and her portrayal was just so cute and lovely, and she did it so well that I fell in love with the character. So in that way, it really did affect my performance, and I think that's true with any acting relationship. As long as your partner is giving their all, it makes you do well.
And in a way, that kind of is like a fit. That's like kind of the theme of Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is, you know, although you don't really see them officially become like a couple per se, unless you were to count the brothers OVA, it's the relationship that they build off of each other that they become better individuals. And I'm wondering if this is something that you felt like, if you personally experienced something like that in a similar way that Miss Kobayashi has had.
Well, sure. Like in life, yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, anytime you get into a relationship with somebody, you probably don't stick around much unless you're growing with them or you're changing with them, or if there's something about them that enhances your life or, you know, personality in one way or another. So yeah, of course. I think any friend of mine or relationship that's stuck around longer than, I don't know, maybe a month or so has something to do with that. But yeah.
So one of my other things, one of my favorite aspects of the show, not just the couple, well, like the couple aspect, but the family as a whole. Like when you see a character like Kana enter the picture, she kind of becomes the daughter figure of Miss Kobayashi. And I'm curious as to how you felt that might have changed your performance of Miss Kobayashi. The more these other characters came into this person's life, like you kind of notice how she kind of becomes a more of an open person as it progresses. And I'm wondering if that affected the way you portrayed her as the series went on.
Yeah, I think it's actually a very well-written character development in the way that as an actor you can come in very, you know, blind to it and just go along with the story and respond the way that your character responds. So yeah, starting as the character by herself and, you know, the dragon shows up, it's the exact same reaction anyone would have, like, wait, what? Of course. And then you go in through it, and you're feeling it with her, you know, she's letting this dragon in her house, changing her lifestyle, finally getting used to it, okay, and all of a sudden another one shows up. And so for me, the reactions that Kobayashi had were exactly the ones that I would have as a viewer, just, where is this going and why? So I found it as weird as she did until, you know, I did a few more episodes and got endeared to the character and was like, okay, so yeah, I feel like my personal caring for the character was kind of aligned with Kobayashi. But, and that's the sign of an amazing writer and amazing character development. It's like if you can relate so well, like there's no unrealistic jump in there, you know what I mean? Like it lets her be weirded out and get accustomed to it at a normal pace. So, yeah, I definitely went along that journey with her, and that's one of the reasons it's one of my favorite characters, and I was emotionally sad when it was over, because it really did take you through it.
Well, you don't have to be sad, because they did announce that there will be a second season of Dragon Maid.
It's true.
So, fingers crossed that you get to revisit her in the very near future.
I would love to. That would be amazing.
So, I know we did some Character Island last time, so I had to think of a really interesting question for my final one, and I think I came up with a good one, which is, if there is one character that you've portrayed that you could have a sort of my dinner with Andre sort of scenario with, who would it be and what would you talk about?
Like who I'd have dinner with and what we would talk about?
Yeah.
I mean, it would definitely have to be Kobayashi. Like, I get it. I mean, that's my life. Like, you just work really hard and you go out and get wasty and meet dragons and the mountains. Like, so, I would hang out with her and talk about it and be like, hey, listen, you don't have to move out of your house and buy it just because some dragons show up. You know, what's going on with that? Just, I always wondered about that. It's like, well, like, your salary didn't go up. Like, how all of a sudden are you buying a new house that's bigger because of some people that showed up your door? Wow, you're a really good person. It's crazy. And she also just seems like she'd be fun to drink with. Yeah. Let's be real.
It's fun to talk about maids.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what's the thing with the maids, dude?
Leia, thank you so much for chatting.
Thank you. Thank you.